Job 17, verses 11 through 16, but specifically verse 15, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Where is my hope? Where is my hope? Have you ever felt hopeless? I'm talking about those times where your dreams and your wishes go up in smoke, or they're just shredded to pieces. Maybe it was a position at work or school you desired and you worked for, but it was given to another person. Maybe it was a woman or a man you wanted to marry, but they ended up marrying someone else. Your dream went poof. It was gone. And the hurt was almost unbearable. This is where we find Job in this chapter. He feels his days are over and nearing an end. He complains that his friends are living in the twilight zone and they're not even realistic. His friends are on another planet. They basically say that night is day and darkness is light. How is a person to reason with someone who's not even realistic and does not embrace the truth? You see it all around us today. People all around us today, they say peace and peace when there is no peace. How do you talk to someone about reality when they're not willing to be realistic? Job feels hopeless because his friends accused him of being a wicked man, when in reality, he's a godly man. How do you reason with such a person? He could not communicate with these men and convince them of his innocence. Job knows that death and the grave are near. His home and his bed will be in darkness. His body will decay and be consumed by worms. This was his destiny. By the way, it is the destiny of all of us if Jesus Christ tarries. With death at hand, Job does ask a very vital question that men and women have pondered for centuries. Where is my hope? Where is my hope? Will my hope do me any good after I die? Where is your hope? What are you hoping, little girl? What do you hoping? What are you hoping, young man? Young lady, what do you hoping? Where is your hope? What do we actually mean by the word hope? We talk about it and hear the word used frequently, but what does it mean? What does the word hope mean? The American Heritage Dictionary defined hope as a wish for something with expectation. A wish for something with expectation, a desire accompanied with confident expectation, a happy anticipation of good. Does that describe you? A wish for something with expectation. A desire accompanied with confident expectation. A happy anticipation of good. Do you anticipate good things to come of your life? We are creatures of hope and need hope to live, lest we lose the desire to live and to just give up. That's why you've heard me many times over the years talk about hope where there's no hope. But there's no hope, there results in death. It was in the psychology department of Duke University that a very enlightening experiment was conducted with laboratory rats. They wanted to see how long these rats could swim. Two containers were prepared, with one container having a possible way of escape and the other having none. Two containers, one container there's a way out. The other container, there's no way out. The rat in the container with no way of escape, he swam for a few moments and then ducked his head into the water and drowned. The rat in the other container with the possibility of escape, with hope, swam for several hours before drowning. That's a rat that had hope. And he went on for hours and hours and hours swimming in the water. And the rat with no way of escape, he swam a few moments, put his head under the water, and gave up. Yeah, why? He had no hope. The conclusion of the experiment was, as long as there is hope, there is life. That is why hope is such an important thing. When there's no hope, there's death. Hope is so important to us. When our hope is delayed, it is painful to us. Notice what Solomon says in Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. There is great power in hope. You ever notice what happens in your life when you're hoping for something, and it doesn't come, and it doesn't come, and it doesn't come, and it doesn't come. And it brings you down lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And you lose hope, and you lose hope, and you lose hope. And then all of a sudden the thing comes to pass, and then all of a sudden hope comes alive. Hope comes alive, but hope should be when you don't see the thing. When you don't see the thing. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's why the Lord knows how much you can take. How much He can bring you along the path, causing you to develop patience in your life. Because He knows if He goes too far and destroys your hope, it would be of no use to Him. That's why He takes you just to, you don't even feel like you're just at the breaking point. It's great power in hope. Hope is a powerful thing. Hope causes people to take risk, to make sacrifices, to gain what they desire. Why do you think people spend a fortune on lottery tickets? Because they hope to win the prize. That's why you got these super lotteries and everything with hundreds of millions of dollars. Because people hope, their hope is in a lottery ticket that they will get rich. Hope causes people to obey God in the face of danger because they hope for God's protection and blessing. Hope in danger. The three Hebrews were willing to face death in the fiery furnace because they hoped that God would deliver them. If the Lord chose not to protect them, they would not disobey God. They hoped that God would deliver them, but if the Lord didn't, that was okay with them. Hope causes people also. There's many people in churches today because of this. Hope causes people to be religious and to do good works. Why? Because they're hoping these things will get them to heaven. Their hope lies in their good works. It lies in their religious system. This kind of hope for heaven, though, is a false hope because they're placing their hope in the wrong thing. You're not saved by your good works. So if your hope is in your good works and your performance, you will be disappointed in the end. Where you place your hope is very important. What do you hope? Where is your hope? If your hope for your security is misplaced, then your security in reality is insecure. If you're hoping in the wrong thing, your hope is insecure. Your security is insecure. For some folks, their hope is in their wealth. And because they're financially strong, they do not sense their need for Jesus Christ in their lives. That's why the Lord says it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Because the people's hope is in their money and they don't see no need for no Savior. Their hope is in the wrong thing. And the flip side of that is people are hoping that the money comes so that their hope can be in the money that comes. So the rich got their hope in money, and the poor got their hope in money. That's why all these religious shysters, these charlatans that beg people for money, they do great in poor communities. They promise blessings from the charlatan on the TV. And the people are basically getting what they want. Their hope, as my brother mentioned about the giver, their hope is in the giver, in the gift rather than the giver. They want Christ to give them something, but they don't want Christ. They have their hope in the wrong thing. Their hope is in what money can do for them. I'll tell you the story about Herbert Hoover. When Herbert Hoover was campaigning for the presidency in August of 1928, he told the crowd in the speech, "We are nearer to the final triumph over poverty than ever before in the history of any land. The poorhouse is vanishing among us. We have not yet reached the goal, but we shall see soon in the sight of the day when poverty will be banished from this nation. Well, needless to say, Herbert Hoover was not a prophet. Because Hoover's positive appraisal of the nation's future seemed on target, and he was elected by a landslide. That was the roaring 20s were going on, and the money was flowing, and everything was looking good. And he said, poverty is just about eradicated in this nation. We will see the day. And less than a year later, the stock market crashed, beginning the Great Depression, the year of hopelessness for many who ended their lives in suicide. Herbert Hoover's message to the country was, we're almost out of the poorhouse. It will be a thing of the past. Put your hope in money. Put your hope in the stock market. Put your hope in something else besides Jesus Christ. And for a decade, there was nothing but hopelessness in this country. People were jumping out of the buildings when their bank accounts were empty because their hope was in their money and not in Jesus Christ. Don't make the mistake of putting your hopes in your wealth like the rich fool did. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and forfeit his soul? Don't be a fool. Job warned us in Job 8:13, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Hope shall perish. Hope shall perish. The Bible paints a dismal, dark, and bleak picture of a person who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Do you remember what it says in Ephesians 2:12? If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. That was the state of the Gentile world up until the time of Jesus Christ. Having no hope. You were like that rat that was in the container that swam for a few moments and just put his head under the water. Said, there's no way of escape. There's no way of escape for me. There's no hope for me. Psychiatrist Carl Menninger even pointed out that the Encyclopedia Britannica prints columns on faith and columns on love, but does not list one topic on hope. Not a topic on hope. I think of men like H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw, who were famous, well-known men for their writings, yet they rejected the message of the Bible. They trusted in their own system of belief. And I would ask you today, are you trusting in your own system of belief? They trusted in their own system of beliefs, which was based upon human reasoning. As their lives continued through the years, they could not find peace and they lost confidence in what they believed. Like I saw the fellow the other day, there is no God. Well, that man, there is no God, will lead to despair and hopelessness. H.G. Wells' final literary work has been labeled as a scream of despair. He had it all figured out. And his last work was a scream of despair. In 1950, before Shaw died, he penned these words, "The science to which I pinned my hope and my faith is bankrupt." What a way to go to your grave. Its councils, which should have established the millennium, have led directly to the suicide of Europe. I believed them once. In their name, I helped to destroy the faith of millions of people. And now they look at me and witness the great tragedy of an atheist who has lost his faith. All the people that thought about liberalism, thought about the Enlightenment, thought about the humanist rising. You look at World War I, World War II. And now the world looks like we're on the precipice of World War III. Your hope is supposed to be in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Woody Allen said this, "More than any other time in history, mankind faces a crossroad. One path leads to despair and hopelessness, and the other to total extinction." Wow, what a hopeless situation. Despair and hopelessness on one end, and total extinction on the other. Let us pray that we have the wisdom to choose correctly. That's what Woody Allen's hope was in. Total extinction or utter hopelessness. Many people feel the same as Woody Allen. They feel life is utterly hopeless, and whatever direction they turn, there's despair. Do you find yourself feeling the same way? Do you feel that way? Do you feel life is hopeless? Question is, where is your hope? Where is your hope? A person without Jesus Christ has not much to hope for at all. If you are here today, or you listen to this message, and your hope is not in Jesus Christ, you have no hope at all. In fact, the Bible teaches us you will spend eternity in a place of no hope. Hell is the place of no hope. It is the place of no hope. No hope. There's no escape. You never leave hell. Hell is forever. Hell is a place where one has ceased to hope. There's no more hope in hell. In Christ, we have hope that He is our hope. The Bible talks about the hope that we have as Christians. First of all, it tells us the source of our hope. If you are a Christian, you have hope. And there's a source of that hope. Hope is found in our sovereign God. As my brother read in Proverbs this morning, about the lot falls into the lap, but it is the Lord that makes the decision. We have a sovereign God. Our hope is in our sovereign God. Many years ago, a submarine was rammed by another ship and quickly sank off the Massachusetts coast. Although the rescue was impossible at that depth, a diver was dispatched to determine if there was still life aboard the disabled submarine. In the black cold of the ocean depths, the diver placed his helmeted ear against the hull of the sunken ship and heard a faint tapping. Carefully, he made note of the dots and the dashes and decoded the following message. Is there any hope? They were down in the submarine, in the darkness of the depths of the ocean. Is there any hope? Was the tap, tap, tap on the submarine. Tap, tap, tap. Is there any hope? With great remorse, he carefully and slowly signaled back to the person who was at the threshold of eternity. Hope in God alone. The diver tapped back, hope in God alone. What is it that you put your hope in today? Hope in God alone. The message of the diver is the message needed for today's generation. You've got a generation before you that has no hope. They have no hope. That's why they sit in front of TV sets playing games all day long and not getting involved in anything. They have no hope. They look around as hopelessness. Will I get a job? Hopeless. Will I come to know the truth? Hopeless. Because, quote unquote, there is no hope. And you can't put no hope in the truth because of relativism. There is no truth, so where is your hope? They can't have no hope. The only real message of hope for people, whether they agree with it or not, is what David said in Psalm 38:15. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. In thee alone, O Lord, do I hope. Psalm 38:15. Thee alone, nothing else, including himself. Psalm 39:7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? For my hope is in thee. Where is your hope today? What are you hoping in? Are you hoping in your schooling? Are you hoping in your money? Are you hoping in your wisdom? Are you hoping in your relationships? Are you hoping in power and prestige? What are you hoping in? And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Is your hope in Christ, in Christ alone? Frederick the Great, King of Prussia, said, the time I live in is a time of turmoil, but my hope is in God. It doesn't matter what Putin does and Russia does and China does and the economy does and Ebola does and Obama does or doesn't do, or the Democrats do or Congress do or the Republicans do or what you do. I have to say, as Frederick the Great said, my hope is in God. My hope is in nothing else. My hope is in God. Corrie ten Boom proclaimed, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. What are you so worried about tomorrow? Except that you don't know God. That's why you're worried about tomorrow. That's why Corrie ten Boom said, I don't worry about an unknown future because I have my hope in a known God. It doesn't matter what's in the future. Even though the scripture does tell you quite a bit of what is in the future. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. My hope is from Him. Where is your hope? Where is your hope? Where is your hope? What is the source of your hope? Where is your hope? What is the source of it? And where is it found? It's found in the scripture. We find strength and hope from spending time in God's word. Could it be that your hope is in the condition it is because you don't know the scripture? Psalm 119:81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You got no hope? You don't know the Bible. That's why you don't have no hope. For my expectation is from Him. My soul fainted for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Might have hope. Where is your hope? What is the source of your hope? The source of the hope is coming out of the scriptures, found in the scriptures. If you feel hopeless, start spending time each day by reading the scriptures. God's promises in His word give us hope. And it gives us hope for several reasons. The source of these promises are in the Lord. The source of it, the power source, is God Himself. Jesus Christ is the source. The stability of the truth within the scriptures give us hope. His word changeth not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The stability of it. You're not tossed to and fro. You notice the ones that are tossed to and fro, it's because of every wind of doctrine. They're tossed to and fro because they don't understand the doctrine. They're not in the Word. We find all our solutions to our present problems, they're provided for us in the Scriptures. Filled, the Bible filled with wisdom, giving instructions on how to deal with problems. Telling you day in and day out, this is how you deal with this situation. It don't matter what situation it is, every situation is covered in the Scripture, some way, shape, or form. The source of our hope in the Scriptures, you're finding out that your past sins are forgiven you according to God's promises. See? You read the Word and you know that your sins are forgiven you. You hope because the Scripture says that your sins are forgiven you. It's not a hope that someday you're going to meet God and He's going to kind of weigh out your good and your bad works. And well, you wasn't like Hitler or Stalin, so hey, come on in here. That's what your hope is in. As opposed to no, your hope in Jesus Christ produces in your mind the understanding that my sins are forgiven me. The Scripture comforts us with the truths of forgiveness over our failures, over our sins, over our iniquities. And it's because of the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of our hope. The supernatural power of the book meets our needs by reading the Word and putting it into practice. We find strength, we find peace, we find joy, and we find hope. Hope. That rat knew there was a way out, and he was going to keep on swimming until he found that way and got out of there. And it's the same with us. Why do you think Christians can last so long in these persecuted lands? Because they have hope. That's why they survive. That's why they don't break the wills of the Christians in prisons that are being tortured and stuff. That's why the martyrs went into the Colosseum singing before they were eaten alive by lions. Because they had hope. They had hope from Jesus Christ. They had hope. also, a source of great hope is knowing about the future. There's something comforting about knowing what's going to happen and not being in the dark. It's very comforting to know what the future of this world is and what's going to happen afterwards. See? It's very comforting knowing, not having to walk around, I wish I knew, I wish I knew, I wish I knew what was going to happen. I wish I knew what was going to happen when the world ended. I wish that I knew what was going to happen when I died. I wish I knew, I wish I knew. That's a terrible way to have to live. Instead of knowing what the future holds for you, you can prepare yourself for the bad. You can prepare yourself for the trials and the tribulations. You can prepare yourself about heaven. You can prepare yourself about you're going to have a home there. You can have hope. Hope. Hope is found in our Savior Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27. Where is your hope? What is the source of your hope? Where is your hope? Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you have that hope today? Or are you hoping in something else? What are you hoping in? What is your hope in? Matthew Henry said, the ground of our hope is Christ in the world. But the evidence of our hope is Christ in our heart. Do you know Jesus Christ in your heart? Has He come to dwell in your heart? Has He come and given you a new heart and set up shop there? Does He dwell in your heart? Our hope for heaven is in Jesus Christ. The world hopes for the best, but Jesus Christ offers the best hope. See? You hear people all the time, well, I hope for the best. I hope for the best. Well, when the best hope is Jesus Christ. You don't have the, I hope for the best. You got the best. You got the best already. Remember this. You and I don't have a hope-so salvation. But we have a know-so salvation. I don't hope so. I know so. Well, that's pretty arrogant of you, Bill. I'm going to show you why it's so important to understand the Scripture, to memorize the Scripture, to meditate on the Scripture. You may have a hope-so salvation, but I have a no-so salvation. Turn to 1 John 5:13. I'm going to show you why I know so. Why I know and this is why you can know this. And it's not arrogant. 1 John 5:13. These things that I have written you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So that for this purpose, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. That's not a hope-so salvation. That's a know-so. I know-so. And it's not boasting and it's not being arrogant. John said, I'm writing you this so that you would know it. That you would know where your hope is. Have you put your hope for heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ? He says He's the only way, He's the only source. You've got thousands of voices telling you there's other ways, but Christ Himself said, Jesus said unto them, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Everybody wants to bypass Jesus Christ. Bypass Christ, go to the Father. Follow Muhammad. Follow Jehovah Witness. Follow Mormons. Follow Buddha. Follow everybody else. Put your hope in some kind of religious system or some kind of religious figure. But Christ said, your hope needs to be in me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. If your hope is in Christ, the Scripture says you will not be ashamed. If your hope is not in Christ, you will be ashamed. And you will be shamed for all eternity. Imagine the shame that you would feel if you were found naked by 1,000 people. All of a sudden you're standing in the middle of a stadium and the curtain gets pulled up and you're standing there naked and thousands of people are staring at you. That's shame. You will know shame for all eternity. You will be seen as you truly are with no hope. Hopeless. Hope is found in knowing the steadfastness of the Lord's care. You want to put your hope in your money, put your hope in your reason, put your hope in your intellect, put your hope in your friends and your family. Hope is found in the steadfastness of the Lord's care. Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations 3, 20 to 26 these words. This is where Jeremiah's hope was. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. That's what my soul says. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercy, his faithfulness. His promise to finish the good work that he has started. His promise of eternal life. I've written these things unto you, Bill, that you would know you have eternal life. Why, you have hope. You're pretty arrogant, dude. No, not at all. Just a man who believes what the Bible says about him. I've written these things to you that you would know. That you would know that you have eternal life. Jeremiah goes on to say, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Both hope and quietly wait. See, that's the thing where patience comes in. You're hoping and you're quietly waiting. Joseph's situation in an Egyptian prison seemed hopeless, but the Bible says that God was with him and cared for him. It was God that made Joseph to prosper, to rise to prominence. God's faithful care gives us hope each day. Has he not taken care of you this far? If nothing else, no matter what has happened in your life today, you're hearing this word. His mercies are new every day. His mercy is new to you right now as you hear this. It should stir up hope in you right now. His mercies are new to you for the simple fact, as I said, you are hearing this. That you can open your Bible now and look at 1 John 5 and say, I've written these things unto you that you would know that you have eternal life. If God was so mad at you and hated you so much and wanted to beat you up so much, he's not going to let you hear these truths and then give you the power to understand them and to believe in them. He loves you. Our God loves us. That's why the Scripture is full of the promises of what God has done and what he is doing. The privilege that we have to pray and to come boldly before the throne of God's grace gives us hope to. It gives us hope. Why do you go to prayer? Why do you go in prayer to God? Because you hope that he's going to answer your prayers. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So I guess what hope does. I go to the Lord in prayer, call out to him, know that he'll answer me, and he'll show me great and mighty things, which I know of not. Great and mighty things. We looked at the source of our hope. Now let us look at the site of our hope. What are we looking at? The site of our hope. What are we fixing our eyes on? the side of our hope. We look at the source of our hope, let us look at the side of our hope. What do we actually hope for as Christians? Where do we set our sights? You heard that phrase, set your sights? Set your mind on things above, set your sight. Set your sight on an eternal life. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You want to set your eye on something? You want to set your sights on something? In hope of eternal life. That other person or family member, they think they're going to be eaten alive by the worms. Or I should say, after they're dead, that's their hope. Well, I get tossed in the ground and the worms are going to eat me. Well, I'll get cremated and thrown into some dust somewhere. Well, that's it. It's all over with. Well, maybe if there is a God, he'll wait things out. No, set your sight on the fact and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God promised. I knew you before the foundations of the world. You've been predestined before the foundations of the world. God foreknew you before the foundations of the world. He called you before the foundations of the world. Romans 5:2. What do we set our sights on? You set your sight on eternal life. You also set your sight on the splendor and the glory of God. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. You stand in this grace. We stand in this grace and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What is your sight on? Is it your own glory? Or is your sight on the glory of God? We hope in the glory of God. Even though we fall short of His glory, we one day, it says, will share in His glory. The Bible says, for all our sins that fall short of the glory of God. But for those who have hope, those who have hope in the future, in the coming of Jesus Christ, it says one day we will be like Him. We will share in His glory. So your sight is to be on His glory. Your sight is to be on eternal life. Sight on the glory of God. Also, your sight should be on the resurrection from the dead. This ain't it. Like all them fellas I mentioned earlier, H.G. Wells and Woody Allen and stuff, they were hopeless. They have no hope. But our hope is in the resurrection from the dead. Acts 23:6. But when Paul perceived that the one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am the Pharisee, the son of the Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. The hope of the resurrection of the dead. The sight on eternal life. Your sight's on the glory of God. Your sight on the resurrection from the dead. As the angels said, as the disciples looked up, as the Lord was going up in the air. What are you guys looking for? That same Jesus that you watching going up, He coming back down. Your hope is in eternal life. Hope in the glory of God. Hope in the resurrection from the dead. Hope and salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet. See, put this little ball cap on your head. Put this helmet on your head. What is that helmet, Bill? And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. No wonder you're getting beat up. You're supposed to have a helmet on, and you don't have the hope of salvation on. That's the helmet. So if you're in a war with no helmet on, the enemy is just going to beat that head senseless. There's a reason why when you see war movies that the soldiers got helmets on. When you look at Roman soldiers, American soldiers, whenever you look at soldiers, there's a reason why they wear a helmet. And that's how important it is, the hope of our salvation. Our faith in Christ appropriates God's truth in our life, and hope anticipates the fulfillment of truth. Did you get that? Faith appropriates God's truth. Faith is what grabs it. And hope anticipates the fulfillment of it. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Faith appropriates that. Faith believes that. And hope anticipates the fulfillment of that. The day when you appear before God and He says, Son, Jesus Christ is where you had your hope. And His righteousness has been accredited to your account. And your sin has gone to Him. And now, Son, you are pardoned. You receive your full pardon. Come in. Come in to my heaven. Come in to my glory. Come in to all those things that I have prepared for you since before the foundations of the world. Faith in Christ appropriates God's truth in our life, and hope anticipates the fulfillment of that truth. I look forward to the day I die, that I go to be with the Savior. Anticipation. Also, faith accepts and hope expects. See, faith accepts a promise and reads of a promise, and hope is what expects it. It's not just hope in nothing. It's hope in the promises that you have faith in. That's what hope is about. We accept God's promises and we expect Him to fulfill them. I accept the fact that God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I accept that. And hope expects God to fulfill that promise. That's the difference. Faith accepts it, and hope expects it. Hope also expects not only eternal life, expects the glory of God, expects the resurrection from the dead, expects salvation, but expects the second coming of Jesus Christ. Everybody is so fearful of what's going on in this world. And well, you should. If you're not a child of God, you ought to be real scared. You ought to be terrified. Because not only you got to deal with everything happening now, then you're going to hell when it's all done. But those that have hope, their hope is in the second coming. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for the second coming. Looking for that blessed hope. One way or the other, I'm out of here. Either the grave's taking me to glory, or the second coming's taking me to glory. Either way. I have hope that when I close my eyes and pass away, that I open up my eyes and behold. And if He comes before that, I'll see Him with eyes open. It's basically this. Am I going to see Him with my eyes open, or am I going to see Him with my eyes closed? That's really the only thing. If you're alive when He comes, you see Him with your eyes open. If you die, your eyes will be closed, and then you wake up and you see Him. Either way. The hope, though, is in the second coming. He's going to come one way or the other. Either while you're alive or while you're dead, He's coming. The truth of the second coming of Christ indicates that history is headed somewhere towards a major event. And that major event is a collision course with Jesus Christ. You know, the world always says, oh, well, what if an asteroid was to hit the earth? There's something much bigger than an asteroid that's going to hit the earth. For all you all that would mock Jesus Christ and think He is as nothing, He's just a man. He was a great moral figure. Well, that one that you laugh and mock at, that have no regard for, it says that every eye will see Him. And this world is on a collision course with that great God. As a matter of fact, it says it right there. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For you that would just say, well, you know, He's just the Son of God. Yeah, well. Our hope is in the resurrection from the dead. Salvation, eternal life. We've looked at the source and side of our hope. Now let us look at the sequel of that hope, or the end of that hope. What is the end of the hope? What is the end? What does our hope produce in our life? You say you hope in Christ? You have hope? Okay? Or the pagan says he has hope? What does your hope produce? We live in an age that people want to see what the consequences of the actions are. What the consequences are. What fruit does it bear? How about that? What is the end of your hope? What does your hope produce in your life? First of all, it's supposed to produce purity. The hope that we have in the Lord and His return motivates the dedicated believer to live a godly life. If you have hope in Christ, it's supposed to result in purity. I touched the TV screen one time 20 years ago and believed in Jesus, but I still behave the same today as I did then. 1 John 3:2-3 says this. And you notice this is 1 John 3:2-3, where I read before, 1 John 5. So the same one I would say about eternal life, that he wrote this, that he would not, says this. Beloved, now, notice, now are we the sons of God. That ought to be a clue right there. Now are we the sons of God. So do sons of God act like sons and daughters of the devil? Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. You say you have hope in Christ, but there's no desire for purity and holiness? Something's wrong there. Something is seriously out of whack. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. The poet Martha Snell Nicholson wrote concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. Each morning I think, with a leap of the heart, he may come today. He may come today, and each evening when I awake, I may be in glory. She wakes up, this could be the day that he comes. When she lays down, I could be in glory. Each day must be lived as though it were to be your last day. Do you really believe that, anybody here today? This could be the last day of your life. Are you going to wake up and you're going to be in heaven, or you're going to be in hell? And it says that the one that believes that their hope is in Christ, they purify their lives. They live holy lives. They don't live lives mocking Jesus Christ and not caring about him and could care less about him. Or maybe Jesus Christ is a little appendage to their kingdom of themselves. Most of us are just living our lives for the kingdom of self. And we have all these appendages coming on to our kingdom. Just like they do on a computer, the little dot, and all the other ones invade that little dot. We have all the appendages, and Jesus Christ is just a little tag on. Somewhere we give him a little flip to him. Hey, how you doing, Jesus? Thank you. Thanks for giving me everything. And that's it. As it powers till you wake up, this could be the day that he comes. What are you going to be doing at the moment that he comes? Or when you lay down at night, if you didn't open your eyes again? Those that have this hope, they live for purity. Live for purity. The hope of seeing Jesus Christ motivates us to be pure when he comes. And that's the question. Is your hope in him? If your hope is in him, you will care what you're doing when he returns. Or you'll care what you're doing or plan to do when you lay your head down at night, because you may not open it up again. Well, Lord, you know, I was fornicating with that guy or that girl because,
But you understand. You know, I was stealing that over there. I was lying over here. I was angry with that one. I was unforgiving towards that one. I didn't give you no praise, no honor, no glory, nothing in my life. What are you going to say at that moment? Where is your hope? If your hope is in Christ, you will purify your life. Like I said, you can't even say words like that in the church no more. Purity, purify, mortification. You can't even say those words. Don't talk to me about that, preacher. Now it's, God wants me to be happy. If I'm happy, God's happy. That's the mentality. Those that have that hope, those that have their hope, what it should produce in their life is patience and perseverance. Our hope and faith in Christ is what saves us and gives us eternal life. As we await death or the Lord's return, it produces patience in our life. We await the wonderful things that are yet to come. So you don't have to get everything now, because you're waiting to the day you die. That's when you get everything. You don't get everything now. That's the problem. Our hope is in getting everything now. Our hope is then. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. That's why it says about faith, love, and hope. Faith will pass away, hope will end, but love is never going to end. That hope is looking for another time. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. The end of our hope, the sequel of our hope, the end of it all. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in pleasure and rejoicing. Pleasure of God, hope in the Lord gives pleasure or joy. Do you maybe have no pleasure or joy because you have no hope? Is that why you're not happy? Because you have no hope. I remember, and everybody here can relate to this. This is when the kids are even listening. When I was a boy, I loved to snoop around the presents by the Christmas tree or in the tree, in the closet where they used to hide. Used to rip the little corners off and see if I could see a little something. See? And one year I found a wrapped gift with my name, and I knew it was a toy gun and a holster set by the shape of the gift. Remember those little holsters and little silver guns? Right? Remember those? I could feel the gun through the paper. I was already enjoying the pleasure of a future event. The time when I would get to unwrap the paper and unveil the mystery that the Christmas paper created. I knew what the gift was and my name was on it, but only Christmas Day would reveal the gift and all its fullness and its beauty. See, that's the way it is now. We know what the gift looks like. You can feel it through the wrapping paper. Yeah, it's a gun and it's a holster. And oh, it's making me feel good. I can't wait for Christmas Day. I can rip open this paper and finally see it. See, hope in Jesus Christ produces that hope of the future. See? I can see the gun and the holster in the gift, but I can't open it up yet. Every time I try to open it up, I think somebody's coming. That used to be the fear I used to have when I was trying to be a cheese eater and look and see what I had. But I knew what the gift was. See? I remember your hope. If you knew what that gift was, you're waiting. Oh, I can't even sleep Christmas Eve. I can't. Oh. Because you knew what you was going to get. See? That's what our hope is in. You know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get. Just like this gift, Jesus has given us eternal salvation and a home in heaven. Just like knowing that little cowboy gun and holster, Jesus
has told us about eternal life, told us of the things. But yet at the same time, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. See, you think that you know that it's a gun in the holster, and you think you know what's behind that paper. And we think we know what heaven and all of that's about, but Paul says, don't be fooled. It really may be a little bit more than a little cowboy gun in a holster. You may think it what it is. See, our hope, and here's another one. Our hope in Christ gives us pleasure now, just as a gardener knows. A gardener's mentality is what? A gardener is someone who believes that what goes down must come up. A gardener puts that seed in the ground. Why? Because they hope it's coming up a plant. They hope it's coming up a vegetable. They hope it's coming up a tree. See? They put that seed in the ground with the hope that. See? We put the hope in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Christ and that it will produce something. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. Hope. We rejoice in hope. That gardener puts that in there, and he's just, and I'll give you a perfect example. I planted that coconut shell, hoping and hoping and hoping. I got 10 other coconut shells out there, planted that shell, hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping that someday I would see that plant come up out of that shell. And on my birthday this year, I went out there, and there was that plant coming up out of that shell. See, I hoped and I hoped and I hoped and I hoped and I hoped. And then one day, boom! The wrapping came off the gift. And there it was, the thing I had hoped for. And that's what the believer knows. And their lives are lived in that kind of an anticipation. The things that will yet be revealed. Our hope in Jesus Christ gives us a positive outlook on life. The security that we have in the Lord helps us to be upbeat about life when it's beaten up on us. That's why people say, how can you still be smiling? How can you still have joy when you have that and that and that and that and that going on in your life? It brings us joy. It gives us hope. The first occurrence of the word hope in the Bible is found in Ruth 1:12. A word study here reveals some wonderful treasures about that word hope. The Hebrew word for hope in that text in Ruth is tikva, and it means a cord or a line. A cord or a line. Keep that in your mind. A cord or a line. The same word for hope, tikva. This word tikva also appears in Joshua 2, verses 18 and 21. And it is the word that's used for the scarlet line that was used to save the Hebrew spies in Jericho and to tie in the window to protect Rahab from destruction in the battle. That same word used for hope was the scarlet thread that had to be hung in the window. The scarlet thread was the picture or the type of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the scarlet thread, in the blood of Christ. As the thread was used to save the spies, the blood of Christ saves us from sin. Our hope is in Him. As the scarlet thread protected them from destruction, the blood of Christ saves us from the destruction of hell. He is our hope. He is our tikva. He is our cord. He is our line to heaven. The scarlet thread that had to be hung in the window so that they would be saved. So that Rahab would be saved. Our hope in Christ binds us together and gives us security as a rope that is wrapped around a package gives security and strength. You know, when you ship a valuable package, you wrap that up. You wrap that up with rope. Not only tape, you wrap it up with rope. You put the tikva around it. You put the scarlet thread around your soul. Where is your hope? The hope we have in Christ gives us a positiveness. So let me ask you once again, where is your hope? Where's your hope? Is your hope in the pardon and in His mercy and grace? The Lord Jesus Christ pardons anyone who puts their faith and their hope in Him. He pardons those who seek His forgiveness and His mercy. Psalm 33:22, let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Lord, show me mercy. Why, Bill? Because I'm hoping in You, Lord. You got to be the scarlet's red. You got to be the chikma. And that hope will produce a courage. Putting your hope in the Lord and surrendering the care of your life to Him produces a confident heart that is filled with courage. Like I said, the sequel of your faith, of your hope, is to produce something. What is it producing? Is it producing a courage? Or is it producing a coward? Psalm 31:24 says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. If you're hoping in the Lord, you should be a courageous person. Not a cowering little spineless coward. That hope is supposed to produce peace. Putting your hope in the Lord and resting in His promises gives you peace and hope. Peace and hope. Hope in Christ gives one the ability to cope with life and serenity in coping with death. People without the Lord are terrified of death. But John Newton, author of the song Amazing Grace, when he was very sick in the final days of his life, shortly before he died, he told a friend, I'm like a person going on a journey in a stagecoach who expects his arrival every hour and is frequently looking out the window and waiting for it to show up. The stagecoach is going through and he's just looking out the window. Just waiting for the arrival. Are you just looking out the window? Are you praying to God that He doesn't show up? Because your hope is in everything else but God. I mean, how many of you here today hope Jesus Christ comes today? Is that your hope today? And if it is your hope, it will produce fruit. John Newton was at peace because he was not looking for the undertaker, but for the uppertaker. The Lord's going to catch you up. You're going up. You're not going down if you're a child of God. The hope he had in Christ gave him peace. Why you have no peace? Is it because you have no hope? Because Christ is our hope. Because Christ is our hope. It softens the sting of a loved one's death when you know that's a child of God. Not that it ain't painful and it doesn't hurt. But when you look in a box and there's a child of God there, it's like, all right, see you later. But if it's not a child of God, there's no more hope for that person. It's over. Eases the pain of a loved one's death. Hope eases the pain of departure. As I say to believers, I'll see you later. See you later. Might not see you for 20 years. May never see you again this side of glory. See? But that's the hope that believers have. I'll see you later. See? I know what it's like that when I was in the military, when you would leave your loved one. It's a terrible moment to say goodbye. And you really don't know if you're ever going to even see that person again. You never even know if you're going to see that person again. But the believer can say, hey, I'll see you later, man. See you later. That's what hope produces. It also lightens the load of loneliness. And it relaxes a restless heart. Why? Because Christ is our hope.